We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and bring in from Pro Football Focus, John Costco. What's good, man?
Hey, Garrett, how you doing, man?
Good, good. Hey, man, did you remember back in the day when you didn't have free nights and weekends, when you just had to, like, if you didn't have minutes, you had to tell somebody to call you back because you had, like, a 400-minute plan during the day?
Hey. Yeah, I remember that.
Well, one thing, don't worry about that now. You're winning over a Pro Football Focus. You got all the time in the world to talk to whoever you want to, and that's what you've been doing. When you've been down here taking a look at this combine, I've been talking about the left tackles and some of the needs and some of the glaring needs for the Cleveland Browns. One of the things that I've seen and what I've been looking at is I take a look at over the last, I say, 25 years of breaking down the offensive linemen. It shows that drafting offensive linemen are just as risky as other positions. What do you guys' data say about drafting tackles or drafting offensive linemen in the first round over a larger sample size?
Yeah, it's absolutely a risky proposition. Any position is basically throwing a dart at a dartboard, because you don't know every single bit of information about this individual, and even if you do, he still might not pan out. It might have a freak injury. Things happen outside of your control that you don't know about these prospects. So, you know, obviously part of the combine is to get as much information about these guys as you possibly can and then make an informed decision. But that's one of the reasons why trading back is such a good thing to do, is to give yourself more, opportunities to draft these guys, more players that you can take a shot on, because, you know, at the college level, these guys play. You know, you look at a Tristan Wirfs. He didn't play Chase Young this year. Tristan Wirfs is obviously, like, you know, one of the top tackle prospects in the draft, but he didn't play a top, you know, edge rusher this year. So we don't get to see him, you know, go up against an NFL caliber edge rusher week in, week out. He's going up against guys that probably aren't going to be in the NFL at the next level. So he's going to look really good. So, you know, you can look at all of his movement skills and his technique and, you know, how he gets to the top of his set, and, you know, when he's in pass protection. But, you know, it's a projection. So you make your informed decisions. And, you know, just like with any position, you might just be wrong. And we've seen in the NFL, teams are more often wrong than they are right. So, tackles is just as risky as any other position, and really has shown out throughout, definitely the past 20 years.
Talking to John Costco of Pro Football Focus on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. The performance from the tackles, they just went and performed. Did anybody's performance really set them aside as far as, you know, kind of moving up and down the board between Andrew Thomas, Jarek Wills, Tristan Wirfs, and of course, Beckman?
Yeah, I think, these guys, we all assumed we had some decent athleticism, but I think, you know, obviously when you have Mekhi Becton, who ran a 5.140 at 364 pounds, I mean, that's impressive. That's moving for a man that size. You just don't see that type of speed from a guy like that. So I think he kind of solidified his position as a top 10 tackle in this class because of that, even though 40s don't really correlate to playing well at the position at all. Same thing with a Tristan Wirfs, who had like an all-time historic combine. So he's a guy that obviously solidified his position, but a guy that isn't talked about much, that really kind of maybe put himself into that conversation as a first-round tackle, maybe a second-round tackle, is Ezra Cleveland from Boise State. He's a guy that he did grade out really well. He's a guy we liked in college, but he had a really good combine that's really not being talked about as much, mainly because Tristan Wirfs had such a historic combine. So, you know, these guys, you know, you want to look at these guys and make sure that they're not having red flags with an awful combine. And I don't think any of these guys had one of those. And, you know, and Andrew Thomas had some really good agility moves. And those are decently, you know, in terms of the value you can get out of a combine, these numbers that and how much a little they actually mean. You know, it's just good to see these guys actually have a baseline of athleticism that you need to see.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the available. Now, this is projected. Some of these guys are restricted free agents. Some of these guys are going to be free agents. When you look at it, grading some of these guys compared to, you know, I guess above replacement, if you're looking at like a guy like Jack Conklin, do you think and do you believe that a guy who's already a veteran is able to come in and perform better than a rookie so far? And do you think, you know, if the Browns are able to get a guy like Jack Conklin, would that be a better upgrade at the position rather than seeing and waiting on one of these tackles? Do you see one of these tackles being like a Orlando Pace or somebody of those ilks that are going to be come in and be like, oh, this is Joe Thomas. This is 12 years Pro Bowl, all-time great.
I will never try to say that one of these guys is as good as Orlando Pace or Joe Thomas or somebody like that. Those guys are, you know, all-time great offensive tackles, so I will never project them to be that good. But I can say that they'll probably, you know, one of these guys probably be better than a Jack Conklin. Jack Conklin's is a solid right tackle in the NFL, but he's not a guy that, you know, I think you can rely on to be like a Mitchell Schwartz, who's been one of the best right tackles in the NFL for, you know, a good 7 years now. I don't think you can look at any of these guys and, you know, like a Jack Conklin and really expect him to outperform be certain that he's going to outperform them. He's been solid, but he's been up and down in his career. We had him, we liked him really well as a rookie, but then he had a couple of down years. He improved again last year. So I think he's kind of a guy that's really scheme dependent upon what's going on around him and maybe who he goes up against. So he's a guy that's a solid player. And I think you can rely on him to be, an average or better, and definitely way better than a replacement. But, you know, I think one of these guys will, and maybe a couple of these guys have potential to be better than that. And I think, you know, Jack Conklin might be getting at a 15 per year rate, and that is way overpaying for, you know, a player of his quality when, you know, you look at, like I said earlier, a Mitchell Schwartz who's getting paid, you know, not even, you know, he's barely getting over $10 million a year right now. So, you know, one of these tackles would be a better proposition if it's an either or type thing. But if you're able to get Jack Conklin at a reasonable price, you know, it's not a bad guy to go after. But he does look like he's about to, you know, make a ton of money on the open market. And that's a risky thing because, you know, our numbers have shown out that drafting and extending tackles is the best thing you can do for your team rather than overpaying in free agency, because they don't, the value you get back from these free agency contracts isn't good at all. Just that's on an average, you know, scale. And, you know, obviously you can make some hits in free agency, but on the whole, it's much more risky to go after these free agent tackles and overpay them.
You know what? That just burns my britches that Mitchell Schwartz is just, He just turned into such a solid professional at right tackle, and he used to be here in Cleveland, and we just did, you know, we didn't pay him. So, you know, we move along. That's water under the bridge at this point. Let's transition to this. You know, one of the prospects that I don't know whether or not, like, I'm just completely head over heels for. Obviously, you know, Chase Young is, you know, people, like you said, he's probably one of the best prospects that you've ever, people have ever seen at defensive end. But there's another defensive guy that, you know, he's not Chase Young, but I'm really excited about him, and is Isaiah Simmons. And it's like, you know, I see him, and I just feel like he can do so many things. And when you're playing against a guy like Lamar Jackson, if you want to get to the top of the mountain, you have to play against a guy like Patrick Mahomes, and they have all that speed. It just seems so enticing to me. He hasn't worked out yet, but what type of numbers do you think he can put up? And do you think that it can almost move him up, depending on his workout, into the top five?
Yeah, he's a guy that obviously fantastic size, and we saw he already weighed in. But today he might put up some, you know, elite level type numbers. He's, you know, a lot of people are talking about maybe 4.4s for him in the 40. And if he runs in the 4.4s or even better, which I've seen some people say, but I mean, that would probably solidify him easily in the top 10. And he would be a guy that I would say would be pretty fortunate for Cleveland to have fall to 10. But if he does fall to 10, I mean, he is a guy that he plays a hybrid role in the NFL that if you're utilizing properly is extremely valuable, because he's a solid player in coverage. He's an all around excellent player in every facet of the game. You can move him all around. You can match him up with tight ends, running backs. He can defend the run. He can cover the pass. He can blitz the passer. So he can do it all. And if he's going to put up some excellent numbers today and at the combine, because he does have elite athleticism. Obviously, we can be wrong about some things. I think Jalen Reagor is a guy that a lot of people thought would put up an elite, you know, moving numbers, especially for speed and agility, and he didn't. But I think Isaiah Simmons is a guy that's going to prove everybody right. And if he drops to 10, he'd be really fortunate for the Browns. But he's probably going to solidify himself as a top five pick. So we've been wrong about this stuff, like Derwin James dropping to 17, which was a shock to, I think, most of us. But I think people have learned their lesson from Derwin James, and they'll probably take him top five if he puts up the combine that we expect him to put up.
Boy, I think that's the gift and the curse there for the Browns. It depends, I guess, if there may be a quarterback run, and we'll talk about the quarterbacks here. The guy that I'm really intrigued with is Jordan Love of Utah State. He reminds me, and I can't keep saying it, this is almost blasphemous. He reminds me of like a JV version of Patrick Mahomes, but I just like him as a prospect. A lot of the callers will call up and say, have you seen this kid from Utah State? And I didn't really, I hadn't heard of him, and you know, I went and took a look at some highlights or whatever, and he was really, really a dynamic, especially I think his first year, his junior year, I think he was a little better on tape than what I saw on the other years. Where do you guys have these quarterbacks ranked, and where do you guys have like a pecking order after Joe Burrow? Who do you think is that second guy that comes off the board?
Yeah, we think that Tua is the second guy that comes off the board. And even with the medicals, and I mean, obviously NFL teams will know better than us if you know, the hip is fine, and, you know, long-term prospects of that, that's obviously a big risk. Even if the hip does have a clean bill of health when, you know, he gets his new MRI or whatever in a couple weeks or whatever it is. So he's the guy that, you know, if he's completely healthy, we think is the second best quarterback in this draft. And then after him, you're looking at Justin Herbert, who has, a lot of question marks himself. Cause he obviously looks the part and has to make every throw in the field. But when it came to like the big games, he completely disappeared. And even in the Rose Bowl where they just won, it was basically all of him as a runner and not much of as a passer. And for him, obviously he needs to be able to succeed at the next level as a passer, not a runner, because he's not like a Lamar Jackson type athlete. So then after him, you're looking, you know, like you said, with Jordan Love, we have him as our number five prospect in this draft. We look at him more of as a day two type guy, because, you know, like you said, he has all that he has the good. He has the top tier type throws. The ball comes out of his hands really nice. When he hits the top of his drop back and everything looks right and is clean for him, he's a really smooth prospect. But when he goes off script sometimes, or he gets pressured, and he just makes mistakes. And even from a clean pocket, he will make mistakes too. So there's a lot of his game that, it looks great, but then he makes a lot of mistakes, more so than what we saw from Mahomes in college. And so he's definitely not as a clean as prospect as him. But he's a guy that needs to clean that up, and he needs to, obviously at Utah State, he did not get a lot of the coaching he's going to get at the next level. But, if he sits, I think for a year, he has a chance. I'm not too high on him because of, the 4 years of data that we have on him, there's a lot of bad in the tape, but, he does have the athleticism and the arm talent to be able to succeed at the next level.
Really quickly, I got one last question before we get out of here. About 60 seconds here. Do you think the Browns should take a developmental quarterback?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're talking about like late day three type stuff.
Yeah, developmental quarterback. Day two, somewhere third round, fourth round. Do you think third or fourth is too high for a quarterback on this team?
I think third or fourth is too high. I think you'll probably want to look at, fifth or sixth round for a guy. And because at that point, you're probably just throwing darts at a board of, hey, this guy has good accuracy, or he has the arm strength. Maybe we can coach him up or something like that. Yeah, I mean, the developmental quarterback never hurts to have on your team, because you never know what's going to happen with Baker Mayfield. You obviously hope that Baker Mayfield never gets hurt and he's an elite quarterback for the next 10, 15 years. But, we've seen over the years that quarterbacks get hurt, or you have like an Andrew Luck thing type happen. So, I think you always want to keep, making picks at a quarterback every year. You look at what the Green Bay Packers did for years under Ron Wolf. So it's a good thing, I think, in terms of always taking a quarterback and just kind of seeing what is out there. And if the guy turns out and you coach him up and you still got Baker Mayfield tearing up the league, you can trade him and get some type of asset for him. If, like a Jimmy Garoppolo that the Patriots did, even though they were looking specifically to replace Tom Brady at that time. So it's a win-win, I think, for the Browns. And it never hurts, especially late in the draft when any other position is pretty much a crapshoot.
All right, man. Appreciate you, John. And we'll talk to you again.
Yeah, my pleasure, Garrett.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.